Okay, so I have 15 minutes, and I generally teach this in an hour, so we're going to be going lickety-split here. So I wanted to start with a little bit about me, because the first time, when I was newly a Christian, I went to a church that had two services on Sundays. It had a contemporary service, and it had a more traditional service. And because the traditional service was later, I always went to that. But they had a healing service, too. And one day I had a healing need in my back, so I went to that. And as we were at the service, and it was just kind of going on like a normal service, a person in a long, flowing dress stood up. And she had long, curly hair. And she looked a little spooky, honestly. And she said, "Oh, my people, my children." Okay. I looked like that. And she went on, and in that tone of voice, she kept talking. And I didn't catch a single word of it because I was so freaked out. So after that was over, I asked somebody, "What was that?" Because nobody blinked an eye. They all acted like it was really normal. And she said, "Oh, that's prophecy. That's when God gives someone a prophecy." I was like, okay, I'm steering clear of that. So eventually I came to Alaska to go to Bible school right here at Abbott Loop. And I joined a home group, and I saw people go down to a microphone and in normal voices give words from the Lord. And they would often preface it by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And they seemed so confident that they were actually hearing something from the Lord. It sort of changed my perspective. I was like, well, I can handle this because it's not so weird. And so then I thought, well, I wonder how they know. How do they know that that's Jesus talking to them? So I went to a friend, and I'm going to ask her to stand, Peggy Bergstrom, because that is who I went to. And I want to honor this lady because I went to Peggy and I said, "How do you know?" And she sat with me and gave me the basics of what prophecy was all about and how I knew. And Peggy, I saw a vision of you as I was preparing for this. And I saw like this peace that was incredible. And there was a light shining. And what I felt like the Lord was saying was, "Faithful, faithful, faithful. You do the little things, and you're faithful in them, and it creates peace, but you also operate in that peace, and I want you to know that I am very grateful for the heritage. I wouldn't be standing here if it weren't for you, and I really appreciate that faithfulness in the small things." So I learned from Peggy. I learned from others in my home group. There wasn't any formal teaching. Remember, I was in Bible school. But people stood up and prophesied, but they never actually taught us about it. And so I started learning through practice, through searching in books, going to conferences like the Windwalkers conferences, for correction from leaders who would come up and say, "Hey, I'd like to adjust you a little bit." And eventually, throughout that searching, I end up going to the School of the Prophets at Bethel Church in Reading. And I have a few important principles about prophecy to share with you. So I want us to look at Acts 2, 17 to 18 to start with. This is where Peter is addressing the crowd at Pentecost. And he is quoting a prophecy from Joel, given hundreds of years earlier, and he says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So I started thinking about that. Well, okay, if that's going to happen in the last days, that was the first three words or four words, when do the last days start? Because are we in the last, when are they? Okay. Well, the next couple of verses actually tell us when they start. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I know you're sitting there going, I don't remember seeing that. But I want you to think about what was going on right when they saw this. First of all, there was the crucifixion, and during the crucifixion, the sun turned to darkness. There was a solar eclipse. At 3 o'clock, when Jesus passed away, there was the beginning of a lunar eclipse. We also call that a blood moon. Okay, so there's two of the signs. The sun will be turned to darkness. The moon will be blood red. Next, another word in that was blood. There would be blood. Jesus bled from 7 different places as he was on the cross. Fire. What was on the heads of the people at Pentecost? Tongues of fire. In other words, the people listening to Peter that day had just seen all of those signs proclaiming that the last days were beginning. So who is supposed to prophesy? Guess what? You. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all of you, my sons and my daughters. Amazing. Okay. So what is prophecy? Well, I'm going to boil it down to the very smallest thing. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so prophecy, in its simplest terms, is God speaks to you, you speak it to others. Okay? So, how do I get this? Well, I want you to know that it starts with love for God. In John 15, 5 and 6, we see Jesus talking about the vine, the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you obey my commands and remain in my love, he goes on and on. He's talking to them about a friendship with him. And so he says, I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Listen, love each other as I have loved you. Oh, wow. Okay, then. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So this is my command. Love each other. So that bridges right into the next thing about prophecy. It has to flow out of love for others. I want to point something out to you. If we were to make a sort of a timeline of 1 Corinthians 12, then 13, then 14. In 12, Paul talks about the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and he talks about how the body, the church is a body. In 14, he tells how to use them. What does he tell us in 13? Love. And he relates love to the gifts of the Spirit. Listen to this. If I speak in the tongues of men, that's one of the gifts. Of men and of angels, I have, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, there's a second of the gifts, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Then he spends several verses telling us what love looks like. And finally, he says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, there's a gift, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. And what's his conclusion at the end? These three remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. That's right. So, love for God, love for people. That's your first two qualifications to prophesy. The purposes of prophecy he gives us in 1 Corinthians 14:3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And other versions use these words, for their edification, for exhortation, for consolation. Okay? Those are amazingly good things. And I kind of want to just insert here that there's a shift from the Old Testament prophet to the New Testament prophet, because this is our focus in the New Testament. Condemnation is not one of the purposes, and neither is judgment or correction. I will insert that sometimes a person who is ordained as a prophet will have correction, okay? Because they're part of the government of God, okay? Prophecy shouldn't be negative, but should bring out the best in a person. Let's say you see something negative in somebody's life. God shows you something negative. We're just going to take an example. He says, that person's mired in pornography. You could blurt out, God says you are mired in pornography. First of all, let me ask you a question. Does the person know that? Yep, you don't have to tell them. Secondly, what about how people around him are perceiving that? Ooh. Is that showing love to him or respect or honor? No. When you get a word like that, you want to be asking the Lord, what was your purpose? Why did you tell me that? What's the redemptive purpose in what you just told me? How can I turn that piece of information into something hopeful for this person? Okay? So how do I hear God? I want you to know that there are generally four prophetic personalities, and I'm just going to really lightly touch on them. The first one is the hearer. This is the person who hears words. When they are prophesying, they are hearing words and repeating them to you. Okay? Secondly, we have the seer. A seer often sees pictures or prophesies from pictures or creates pictures. Okay? So a seer doesn't necessarily hear words, but somehow they have to interpret what they're seeing in words, okay? Okay, a knower. A knower is a person that can just know something. So, I'm going to give you an example of that. When I first came to Alaska, I was single. I felt like the Lord had told me to live with a family. And so a new friend was driving me around Anchorage the second day I was here, and I was telling her that. I think I'm supposed to live with a family. And she started telling me the names of some families who would possibly take me in, okay? Because they'd had Bible school students in the past. So I was listening to her, and I heard the name Hardesty. And I was like, I recognized it, but I'd never heard it before in my whole life. So I asked her, could you say that name again? Hardesty. The Hardesty family had a Bible school student. I was like, thank you. How did I know? Well, that was the gift of knowing. That was my personality of being able to know something like that. By the way, I did live with the Hardesties. they came to me and asked me to live with them. A feeler. A feeler is a person who feels the feelings of God or the feelings of another person. And so a feeler, again, may not have words. God isn't giving them words. God is giving them feelings, and somehow they have to interpret those feelings into words for you. Okay? So, what are some of the things that God will use to tell you what he's thinking and feeling? Well, the first one is visions. There are two kinds of visions. You might see something in your mind's eye, or you might see something that seems to be real in front of you. One day we were doing a class in this room, and one of the young people was looking out the window when she was supposed to be asking God for a prophecy. And when she gave her prophecy, she said, well, the weirdest thing happened. there was traffic coming down the road, and she said, I saw a blue car, but I knew the blue car wasn't there. Okay, so she was seeing a vision of something that appeared to be real, but it wasn't, and she knew it, okay? And then she went on to give her prophecy based on that. Dreams usually need interpretation. A still small voice. All of us know about Elijah in the cave and the whirlwind, the fire. None of that spoke to him, but a still small voice is what he heard, and he heard God. The audible voice. I used to say, I don't know anybody that's ever heard the audible voice of God, but now I know. I do know people like that. They came up and told me after I said that one day. I've heard his voice. I might say that it's a little rare, okay? But you can hear the audible voice of God sometimes, just like Jesus did. Trances, which are kind of like visions, only the person is completely unaware of what's going on around them. And I read about John G. Lake, who was famous for his healing ministry, and that used to happen all the time. He'd be kneeling at the altar, and people would kind of look at him there, but he was off, okay, because he was in a trance. Through the scriptures, I had an amazing experience. God speaks to me through the scriptures all the time, but one day I was reading the scriptures, and it was like God was highlighting that scripture. Pay attention to this. And I puzzled over it for the next 2 weeks. I had no idea what he was talking about. Someone walked up to me in church and asked me if we had ever considered adopting. And then she went on to tell me that there was a baby that needed to be adopted. And then suddenly I thought, oh, that scripture. And I went back to it. And it talked about kings bringing their children. And it talked about expanding your tent and your territory. It talked about how you would nurse children that were not your own. I was like, okay, we're doing that. Here's one of my daughters from China. Okay? All right. Impressions, such as feeling drawn to an object or maybe a scripture or a person. Feeling an impression that something is just not right. God might give you that feeling. You might become impressed to listen to something carefully. One time my daughter we had switched her. She was about a year old, and she kept having ear infections. And I just felt drawn. I felt like the Lord was saying, go listen to that person, who I didn't know very well, but I thought, okay. And she was telling a group of friends that sometimes ear infections are caused because a child has been switched to milk. Yep, we had switched her to cow's milk. We took her off of cow's milk, no more ear infections. Sometimes you might feel urged to take some action that seems out of the ordinary, okay? Like standing on your head, okay? There is a classic story of a lady in line at the bank, and God told her to go do a headstand. And she was like, no, God, I am not doing that. No. He said, go do a headstand. No, it was really urgent, though, go do a headstand. So finally, she was like, all right. She runs over to the wall, does a headstand really quick. Zip, she's back down, and she's over in the line. And she's standing in line waiting, and the guy behind her taps her on the shoulder and says, did you just do a headstand? Yes. He said, do you know what? I told God that if he's real, he needs to show it to me by having somebody in this bank do a headstand. Yeah, he got saved. Okay, the next one. Knowing the thoughts of another by revelation from God. I want you to be very careful about this one because I have met too many people that think that their suspicions are revelations from God. Suspicion is the evil stepsister of this gift, okay? So be careful. If you have a word that condemns the other person or harms them, it is not from the Lord, okay? circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances give a natural example of what God is saying in the supernatural. Prophetic dances. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story here. I saw somebody prophetically dancing, and I thought they looked weird. And so I said, God, please do not ever give me that gift. Okay? So one day, I was at a Windwalkers conference, and I felt the Holy Spirit moving me to dance. And I was like, we have an agreement. But he ignored that agreement, okay? And he just kept urging me to dance, so I danced. And then we were actually in this room. We had small groups, which were actually more like 20 people, and there were a couple people going around prophesying to each person. And I kind of got lost in my thoughts and because I couldn't hear the person in my group, and I began to commune with the Lord, and he was like, I want you to dance. Right here. There's not even any music. Do it. So I did. And then I started to realize that every movement I made, the person who was prophesying in the next group, who had his back to me, was saying the words that I was acting out. So if I said, if I was bringing in a something like this, he would prophesy about bringing in the nets. If I made this kind of a movement, he would talk about flying. And suddenly I realized, I'm actually saying something when I prophetically dance. Amazing. Prophetic dances, prophetic songs. Oops, I skipped that. Sorry, Sarah. King David's temple singers were called prophets and seers. Isn't that interesting? An example from today, as Teresa and Joel led worship, they would be prophetically leading worship because they ask God, what do you want us to sing? And they sing out, okay? Artwork. You can produce artwork, and that it can have a prophetic message. Or you might look at a piece of art and God give you a word from that. And I want you to know that this isn't an exhaustive list. Okay, there are lots and lots of ways, creative ways that God speaks to each person. You're all unique, okay? For instance, preaching is prophecy. What does your pastor do? God, what do you want me to say to your people? And he speaks it, right? Writing a book. God, what should I put in this book? Somebody reads the words of God, okay? So, I want us to understand that this isn't something spooky, and it isn't something you can't do. You've probably done it all of your Christian life. You have prophesied. When you look at it in these terms, I want you to understand that it isn't something just for the people up in the front of the room. You're doing it, okay? And so what I'd like us to do, and we're going to have some prophetic activation later, is to do a little bit of practice with this so that we understand that God made it so that we get to partner with him. That's what it says in Ephesians 4. We get to partner with him in serving one another and the world, and part of that is by using our gifts of prophecy. Okay? All right.
Thank you, Nancy. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that well balanced? Just want you to think about what Nancy was teaching. And as she was going down the list of the different types of prophecy, what resonated most with you?
Gives you knowing. When Mary was speaking and she was sharing about her arm, the Lord gave me Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And the Lord spoke to me that the enemy tried to cut off that righteous right arm of judgment that she has as an apostle. And that there's times when the enemy comes against the body of Christ, but that the enemy tried to cut off that righteous right arm of judgment, and that the Lord would begin to restore, and he would give Mary exactly the prayers, exactly the prophetic things that need to happen, and the prophetic teaching for the body of Christ to move into the things so that the enemy that tries to come against the body will be stopped.
Yeah. You know, it's important for us to lift up Mary on a daily basis, praying the strength of the Lord to be around her, that the angels would be surrounding her. And not only that, our leaders. The Word of God says, touch not thine anointed, but do my prophets no harm. And you know what? You are God's anointed. I'm a part of his anointed. So it's important how we treat each other, how we talk about each other, and definitely how we talk about his leaders, his leadership. We have to just be very careful with that. What is it, young lady?
Short and sweet. When was the last time you treated yourself like a child and gave yourself that love and care that you would a young one, and gave yourself the love you would give the young one? Give yourself that love and understand that you are a child of God, and just understand that, and then, like, love yourself.
Come on now, that's a prophetic word. Just take a moment. Pull that love in. Remember that time when you were running along the beach with your friends and there was so much joy. Running through the woods to that favorite tire swing. Just couldn't wait to get there. The love of a mother's arms or a father's arms or a friend, an auntie or an uncle. You know, we'll have a moment to, for each one of you to prophesy. I think there's things that's stirring up in here. Prophecy is stirring up, but we're going to take some time to activate you, and you're going to start speaking words over each other. Way back when my wife and I were very new Christians, as soon as the Holy Spirit baptized my wife, that happened in her sleep. She said, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. She didn't even know what that was. And she says, I want that. She woke up in the middle of the night, straight out of bed, and started speaking in tongues. When she was dreaming, she did it in her dreaming. She woke up, and I woke up startled. And I was wondering, who is this in my bed? But she just started seeing these dreams and visions. And you know what? She was seeing those things before that. But when she received the gift of the Holy Spirit, it was like movies and all kinds of different things. And it didn't really shut off for her. For me, I actually had to ask the Lord, you know, I don't see these things, but I ask that you would show me. I don't really hear your voice, but I want to hear your voice. And we actually went back in the early, back in the 90s, 2000, we actually went to a place down in Florida, and I received an activation, prophetic activation, the first time that I had ever prophesied. Not for my wife, but the first time that I had. And, you know, at that point, it was amazing because the Lord actually started showing me something for someone else. And throughout the course of time, I've said, Lord, when I turn my heart towards him, it's like he just starts dropping things, showing me things. When I'm here at Kingdom Alliance, it's like I'll just be worshiping away and my heart is just turned towards the Lord. And it's like I'll look over and I'll see a vision. And then I'll say, what is it, Lord? And he'll start telling me and speaking to me for someone. And I've seen a couple of visions here today. But I remember one time that I only gave that one word after that prophetic activation, and the next thing I knew, somebody was asking me and my wife to come and pray over people at this conference. And sure, I could pray, sure, I could do that. But we went into this room and there was 10 chairs around, and then I realized, oh, we were supposed to pray over 10 people. And it wasn't just prayer, we were supposed to prophesy over them. And I won't mention any names of who asked us to do that. I'll just say the initials. Mary Glazier. But we went in that room, and Eleanor, you know, she was, yes, yes, she was all pumped up. You know, we got our tape deck, our praise music on, and she was all pumped up. Yeah, yes, yes. And I was sitting there, oh, my gosh. How did I get here? So these people came in, and Eleanor is just getting more and more excited, and I'm just getting more and where's the door? So Eleanor, we started praying, and the Holy Spirit, and Eleanor went to that first one, and she's praying, and then she starts prophesying, and it's like, I'm praying, then all of a sudden, I saw a vision. And the vision I saw was of this dryer that you might see in a laundromat. The one with the window in it. And I saw the clothes going around in a circle. And I'm looking at this person, and I'm seeing the dryer. And I'm looking at this person. So Eleanor gets done, and I just said, well, I'm seeing this vision, and it's of this dryer. And the clothes are going around in a circle. And all of a sudden, I heard the words of the Lord come. And I heard the Lord say, I've been preparing your garments. I've been preparing you. And it's like I saw the hand of the Lord, the vision continued, and he opened up that dryer, and he took out the garments and placed it over this lady. And I was just saying, I see the Lord taking those garments out. He says he's been preparing you for years through the heartache and the sorrow. And yet you've turned your heart to me and you followed after me and you said yes. And now I'm placing my mantle upon you to speak forth your words, to speak forth the word of the Lord, to help others. I said, wow, that was really cool. So Eleanor would go around and she would prophesy, and I saw little visions here and there, you know, and I went around to this other lady, and Eleanor says, you go first. I'm thinking, wait, you're supposed to go first, you know? And so I'm praying in the Holy Spirit over this lady, and then I heard this song. Oh, I'm hearing a song. And I went to the lady and I said, I'm hearing this song. You know, and I was hearing it, and it was, help me, Rhonda, help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. You know, I'm hearing all this, and I'm thinking, that's not even a Christian song. So I sang it to her. Help me, Rhonda. And the Lord just began to speak to me, and I said, the Lord is saying that there's many that are going to begin to come to you and say, hey, can I talk to you? I need somebody to talk to. I need some help. Could you sit with me for a while? And that he's going to draw many to you. And as you sit with them, God is going to drop words in your heart. And you'll know what to tell them just like that. And you'll be saying things to them that you never said before. And they're going to be able to move on to the next step. And it's going to be words of life. It's going to be words of life that you're sharing with them. And that word is for you. Words of life are pouring out through you in this time, in this season. And so that lady, I got done saying that. She said, I just want to share something with you. She says, you know, my name is Rhonda. Throughout the course of our time, my wife has prophesied to me many things. And there's been some things that she's prophesied, and I say, I don't know about that. But I've said, okay, Lord. One time she had a dream, and she said, Robert, I had this dream that you checked money out out of your 401k to pay off our house. And I was thinking, oh boy, if I do that, the IRS is going to charge me thousands of dollars to do that. And I was telling her that, but I said, okay, but I'll check on it. And so I checked on it, and sure enough, they would charge me thousands, and it would not be good. And so I told that to my wife, and then it's like a little bit later on, she had that dream again, and I said, okay, I'll check into it again. And this time I called up, talked to someone, and they were saying, yeah, it'll cost you this much. It'll cost you about $6,000 just to check this money out. I said, okay. But then the guy says, but you know, if you want to borrow money from your 401k, you know, that's your money. You can borrow money from yourself and pay off your house. The only thing is that you have to pay yourself interest. And if you do it that way, the IRS will not charge you or ding you anything. So let's see. The bank is charging us 5% on all of this money and taking big amounts of money. I mean, most of that money is going to the bank. Thousands. Or I could borrow money from myself and pay myself that. And you know, if you default on the bank for your house, what are they going to do? They'll take your house away. If you default on yourself, then you got to pay that few thousand dollars to the IRS. But they do not take your house because that's paid off. And so, you know what? We have to, first of all, be willing to listen. Don't ignore those dreams. You know, I could have easily said to my wife, oh, that'll never work. That'll never work. But you know what? We have to learn to at least step forward and say, okay, show me, Lord. Show me. And even with a part of the words that we receive, the word says, war, make warfare by the prophetic words that you've received. We're going to do an activation in a couple minutes here, so just be ready. Do you see? You know, when we were worshiping, I saw you come up front. You were just kneeling there and praying. And what I saw is it's like in the spirit you stood up and you started going back and forth and almost twirling around like this. But as you did that, it's like I could see colors coming off from your hands. There was all different types of colors coming off your hands, and they were going out into the atmosphere. Not only into the atmosphere, but to different people and things like that. And it's like I was hearing the Lord say that he's opening up a new season for you, that you're going to affect the spiritual atmosphere, not only in a new way in your own household, but as you go out into the community and even in the church, he's birthing you into a new prophetic season. And so you're going to speak things and proclaim things, and it's going to begin to happen before your eyes. And he said, just get ready for it, because he's going to show you great and marvelous things. I just release that right now in the name of Jesus. And I proclaim the word of the Lord to come through this one in a great and powerful way. I proclaim the new season, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for that.